Fractured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
May we never lose our outrage.
I was convinced that this was the right decision, and I hated my body. I felt like, well, I'm already on the train. There's not really any getting off, and this is what'll make me happy. By June of 2017, I started testosterone. I believe the 22nd of September of 2017 is when I had my mastectomy. I don't want to see more kids be harmed and come out the other side living the way that I do.
This is Wretched Radio. May this story kindle a righteous indignation in all of us, lest we grow numb to all of the conversations that are happening on social media about transgender issues. Let's remember there are real people, real children, that are being so brutally harmed by these ridiculous, evil, wicked practices. I'm concerned that we'll begin to think of this issue very perhaps similar to abortion. We've perhaps lost the fire on that issue too. And sometimes we need to be stirred to remember little babies are getting ripped to shreds inside of their mother's womb, torn in parts and vacuumed out, so that we don't become callous to what is happening to millions of children every year around the globe. And so it is with transgender issues. The young lady featured in Independent Woman Features, it's iwfeatures.com, a number of videos, a number of stories of individuals who were brought into the supposed scientific process, which, as you will hear, was not scientific at all. And they were maimed. This is Layla Jane at the age of 12 because she was confused. They started pumping her with testosterone. At the age of 13, she had her first surgery done to her body, a mastectomy. At the age of 13, are you kidding me? Let us not lose, I think, the righteous indignation we should have when we hear stories like the story of Layla Jane.
I struggled with my mental health since the age of 6. I had suicidal ideation from at least second grade, and I never got adequate help for that.
Please note, she had suicidal ideations long before she was confused about her body, because the narrative that is so often chirped is that if you don't get your child underneath the knife and fill them with drugs, they're going to take their own lives. Their suicidal ideations, oftentimes, not all the times, are disconnected from their body issues. They are mental health issues, to use the vernacular of the secularist. They've got thinking that needs to be fixed, not their bodies needing to be maimed.
I think the reason I had suicidal ideation from such a really young age has to do with some childhood trauma that I endured, but also I think I'm just kind of someone who is prone to depression. So I first began to question my gender identity when I was 11 years old.
Let's do the math. Second grade, 11 years old. She had suicidal ideations long before she started being confused about her gender.
At the time I was going through puberty, I hit it a lot earlier than all of the other girls in my school, and it was really difficult to deal with. I was bullied, and part of my social difficulties had to do with my undiagnosed autism. I kind of turned to myself a lot, and I had unfettered internet access at that age.
There's another problem right there.
the internet access where there are people trolling and phishing all the time. And the algorithms that will feed this dreck to them. Let's just say this young lady went online to ask questions about her body. What's happening? Because she's going through puberty and perhaps it is early and perhaps she has nobody to talk to. Guess what starts popping up then in your feed? All these different fishers that start asking questions to take them down this dark road of transgenderism. That is why social media, I'm telling you, for children, it is so dangerous. And Layla Jane appears to be another victim.
I spent a lot of time on Instagram, and at first it was just for like niche communities around like video games, anime, and TV shows that I was into. And I began to see a lot of posts from Tumblr regarding LGBT issues trickle down into my Instagram feed. And that kind of planted the idea. It sounded like a really plausible way to escape being a woman, which was really scary to me at the time. I latched onto it as just an easy answer for my distress that I'd been experiencing. I did kind of socially transition when I was in sixth grade and had a couple of people call me by male pronouns and tried out a new name. I brought the idea to my therapist that I was seeing at the time, and she didn't tell my mom. I feel like they misinterpreted general discomfort around puberty as gender dysphoria. I didn't like that I was beginning to get male attention once I started to develop breasts, and I really wanted to hide it.
This is just heartbreaking.
Periods were really uncomfortable to cope with, especially at 9 years old, I think, is when I had my first one. I would have been fourth grade. So I definitely misinterpreted those feelings as gender dysphoria.
And nobody helped her to retranslate them. There's another video at independentwomenfeatures.com. It's Simon Amaya Price. The name of his video is Breaking Free from the Transgender Contagion. His dad wouldn't let him entertain those thoughts. His dad wouldn't let him go see somebody about his struggles. His dad wouldn't let him be exposed to these ideologies. And it spared him what Layla Jane was not spared from.
My therapist at the time didn't do any exploratory questioning and trying to find any of the root issues. My parents were very stressed and confused and thought that having a transgender child was akin to having a gay child. They just wanted me to be happy and healthy, whatever it meant. That therapist began to write out referrals for specialist doctors in the transgender field of medicine. I saw one fairly local specialist. It was a Kaiser Clinic. And she agreed with my therapist's diagnosis of gender dysphoria.
Probably took about 60 seconds. Okay, let's do it. What kind of kickback do I get on this? Anyway, how much do we?
And further affirmed me, but she said that I was too developed for puberty blockers and tried to prescribe me birth control to suppress the menstruation, but my body didn't respond very well to it. I was really nauseous and throwing up.
She's
I think
a child.
I prescribed Lupron November of 2016 to prevent any further potential breast growth.
Lupron is the name of the drug. These people are insane that do this. They're just absolutely evil and insane. Now, perhaps they're blinded from their own ideology, but this could just not possibly be more. Here, honey. Here, 12-year-old girl. Start taking this drug to keep you from developing the way that you were made.
And to stop my menstruation.
Ugh.
By June of 2017, I started testosterone. There's a lot that I wasn't told. The really not so obvious things, the not so fun things about it. In a way, I experienced some form of euphoria. However, you're going to feel kind of on top of the world when you're essentially taking a steroid. You feel a lot more energetic. Like, I almost felt like I was manic. Even though I'm not bipolar, And it wasn't like full-blown mania, but that's the best comparison that I can draw. To trust a teenager with a drug that has addictive qualities, to do that by themselves, I don't feel like is fully responsible.
She's wrong. Wasn't a teenager. She was 12.
I believe the 22nd of September of 2017 is when I had my mastectomy.
Age 13.
The surgery was referred to with watered down terms such as top surgery. My parents were mostly listening to the doctors. My initial therapist gave them the dilemma of having a live son or a dead daughter.
Pants on fire. Remember the math that we did earlier. This is a young lady with struggles. And this is used. And by the way, it's study after study after study reveals that these kids, they do not get better suicidally once they've had these wicked procedures perpetrated on their bodies. They do not heal. Why? Because their body isn't the problem. It's not an external issue. It is an internal struggle. Outraged yet? If not, we should be. Because what is happening right underneath our noses is, I was going to say evil, not strong enough, demonic, hellish, wicked. This is Wretched Radio.
History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of scripture and he preaches it until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Some struggles stay hidden for years. For many Christian women, pornography is one of them.
If you're listening and this is your struggle, I want you to know that shame and secrecy are not God's will for you.
Out of the Shadows is a three-part series from Fortis Institute hosted by our very own Libby Glosson, and it was made for the woman who believes she's the only one. Available right now at fortisplus.org.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You've tried everything. You've sent articles. You've had the conversations. You've probably argued more than you wanted to. But you have a loved one who is still neck deep in the prosperity gospel, and nothing you seem to say gets through. Snatch Them from the Flames was made for exactly this reason. Todd Friel and Justin Peters sit down and they tackle why your loved one is attracted to these movements in the first place. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. FortisPlus.org. A good majority of us are running two lives. There's the one where you pray and you read your Bible and you go to church, but there's also another life, the one where you go to work and do what you've got to do to cover the bills. And Todd Friel, well, he doesn't believe that God ever meant for these to be two different lives. His new book is called Go Serve Your King. You can pre-order Go Serve Your King right now at fortisinstitute.org/king. And if you order by November 15th, Todd will mail you a signed book plate for your copy. The book comes out December the 1st.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation. the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I believe the 22nd of September of 2017 is when I had my mastectomy.
Age 13.
The surgery was referred to with watered down terms such as top surgery. My parents were mostly listening to the doctors. My initial therapist gave them the dilemma of having a live son or a dead daughter.
Lies, lies, and more lies. This is Wretched Radio. DailySignal.com. NIH-funded study finds puberty blockers failed to improve youth mental health. This is just one of many studies. The impact of early medical treatment of transgender youth. National Institute of Health. The study included people as young as 8 years old. What in the why? Wait, what? How are we studying 8 year olds? You mean we're letting 8 year olds tell us what is right about their bodies? And we're assuming that they should be given these puberty blockers at the age of 8? The sample receiving puberty blockers included participants up to age 16, while the sample receiving hormone treatments included participants up to age 20. Over 2 years of medical intervention that started with blockers, mental health remained relatively stable and was on par with the population at large. Lying. They're lying. Their mental health will improve. Their suicidal ideations will decrease. Lies, lies, lies. The report's release has been long awaited. Why? The New York Times first reported in late 2024 that the study of almost 100 children would not be published because it was feared that the findings would be weaponized. Weaponized? How's about just used? How's about, isn't that what science is all about? Shouldn't there be some transparency? We're going to hide these study findings because it doesn't actually fit our narrative. And how do we get away with squelching this information? Larry, what do you got? Tell them that they're going to weaponize it. Good, Larry. Good. Excellent. Now we don't have to reveal this study. The study, by the way, also found potential effects on youth bone density, reproductive health, and height. Nevertheless, we keep pumping kids full of them simply because they're confused, just like this young lady, Layla Jane. It's a story from Independent Woman Features, iwfeatures.com, and it is my hope that we will hear this young lady share her journey, and we will be outraged.
I wanted to just pass and live as a boy and have nobody know. I didn't have to do a whole lot of convincing. My parents just really wanted me to be happy. I was convinced that this was the right decision, and I hated my body. I hated binding, but if I didn't bind, I would have people be able to see that part of me, and I didn't want that. I felt like, well, I'm already on the train. There's not really any getting off. This is what'll make me happy. I just need to do it and let the effects settle in and let the testosterone masculinize me, and that'll be when I'm truly happy.
Lies. Nothing but lies.
On one hand, I was, in a sense, I was happy when the bandages first came off at my first post-op appointment.
Ugh.
I thought it would mean that I could be my true self. I was excited to be able to be shirtless in the summer instead of hiding under many layers. But this, on the other hand too, I was a bit horrified. Immediate post-op results are kind of gory, and dealing with the post-op care was still kind of scary, but I just got through it the best I could.
Child.
When I decided to transition, I was not in a very sound state of mind, to the point where I didn't believe that I was going to live to be 18. I thought something would happen to me, most likely by my own hands. So when I got to 17 and realized, oh, I am going to make it, I you know, did a lot of introspective thinking, and I was just like, this isn't how I want to live my life. It feels like I'm putting in a lot of effort to try to maintain this facade that I'm a real boy. And I also realized, well, I'm not going to grow past 4'11". And I feel like I'm never truly going to be looked at as like a normal man at that height.
Because those puberty blockers and all the drugs they injected into this young lady, it stunts growth. Would you rather have a short, alive, pretending to be son or a dead, tall daughter? Liars.
They're either going to see me as a teenage boy or some kind of man who has a disorder resulting in growth stunting. I had a new therapist, completely unrelated from the trans thing, that I began seeing when I was 17. And I think she was the first person I told. And she didn't really know how to handle it. You know, she was trained under the affirming model, and this didn't fit within the model. There's no protocol. Even now, there's no billing codes, even in the medical regard, for detransition. For a while, I didn't even know detransition was a thing. But when I was closer to 18, I found the detrans subreddit. I did lurk and read a lot of the threads and realize that it's not just me. I'm not just like a complete outlier, and I'm not like crazy for this.
No. So many of them are having so many regrets.
I was scared to even admit to myself that I was stopping the testosterone. I tapered myself off and kind of just started slowly lowering my dose and spacing out the shots. I got a call because I was about to age out, since that clinic only handled pediatric patients. And they asked if I wanted a referral to the adult program. And I declined. And they didn't poke or pry or ask any questions. I feel like it was really negligent. This is an egregious case, especially the lack of care for my comorbidities. Mm-hmm. I had doctors telling me that, oh, well, the depression will ease up and the anxiety will ease up once the patient, me, feels more comfortable in their transition and feels like it's progressed enough.
Uh-huh.
I knew that there was a chance my hair would thin, depending on my genetics. I knew that my voice would drop, but I didn't know that in my voice dropping, I can't really scream anymore. I can't talk very loud, especially for long intervals of time. My throat gets kind of sore and just exhausted. The testosterone really damaged my liver at 14 because they were doing frequent labs, blood testing labs, to check my levels. And I guess something was off with my liver enzymes. They suspected that I had been underage drinking, and I hadn't had alcohol at that age. There is no other reason my liver should have been damaged besides testosterone.
Shh, 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 shh. Don't tell mom and dad that that's a potential side effect.
I have genital atrophy. I have urinary issues. It's almost like I'm a menopausal woman. I was told that I would never be able to chest feed, but what I wasn't told was that among the complications would be nerve pain, which I deal with every day. It sometimes feels like slicing or like an electrical zap. Sometimes it feels like itching, but I can't scratch it because the skin itself is like numb, but the nerves underneath are really erratic. I also was not made aware that I would be left with mammary glands, although they're severed. My nipples are grafted, so it's completely separated. So if I were to get pregnant, I would likely produce some milk, but it would be trapped with no way to get out and cause serious infection. They also did not impress upon me that I could still technically get breast cancer. Once I get older, I would still need to get mammograms. So I was kind of blindsided by these things a bit.
A bit. No, totally. Wish you could see the video. This is a little girl who went through this nightmare And now she's dressing like a woman. She has long hair. You would certainly identify her as a woman. And yet she's dealing now with all of these health issues. Furthermore, has she received the help that she needs for her other struggles? This entire industry is diabolical. It is promoted from a godless worldview that is perhaps the creme de la creme of expressive individualism. You feel it on the inside. Okay, we're going to get your outside to match your insides. They're science deniers. They're wicked. They're evil. And may we never lose our outrage, because these are not Hollywood stories. These are real people. And while the secular world clearly doesn't love them, we're going to. And with that love, I think it should be accompanied by some righteous indignation. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.